tell you how I've been praying this morning, that whether you had a great week or a bad week this week, that today is the beginning of a new week. And so my prayer is that today begins your week so that you can have a great week this coming week, regardless of what happens, that you can have something to anchor to this week that will allow you to get through that. And so I'm just so excited that you're here and that you're a part of it. And so I'm just honored to get to hang out with you for a little bit. Now, we're in a series called Who Are We? And this is our second week in the series. And basically what we're doing is talking about how the church is designed. That who are we when it comes to being part of the church, the big C church of Jesus, all right? So what we did look at last week was that the church basically began as a bunch of people who recognized who Jesus was, who he was for them and to them, and out of that, they began to ask the question, now what? What do I do with this knowledge that I have that I need Jesus in my life? And what the church began was with that group of people asking the now what question that led to them getting a bunch of other people to ask the same question, now what, in regards to who Jesus was. And that's really, when you boil the church down, that's what we're supposed to be. A bunch of people who are asking now what in regards to Jesus, and then going and doing whatever it takes to get more people to ask the same question for themselves. So when we acknowledge who Jesus is, that he came and he died on a cross to pay the price for our sins, that he was buried and raised again so that you and I could be forgiven of our sins, set free from them, and to be not only be able to do that here in this life, but for all of eternity, when we acknowledge who Jesus is, when we understand that, then we can ask, now what? What do we do next? And so that's what we're working on as a church. That's who we're looking at as we find out who Uwari Community Church is in regards to that kind of knowledge. And see, when we look at the design of the church, that's the way it was put together for us to have something and then to move on to get someone else to want to have the same thing. And so for us, we believe that we're designed to be a church where people can develop a love for God, a love for other people, and a love for sharing the good news of Jesus. And so for us, that means that we have to focus on some things. We focus on worshiping God for who he is in every area of our lives. We acknowledge him in that, and we exalt him and lift him up. All right, there's some good churchy words for you. Well, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to make sure that he's number one. Then we're supposed to not just exist in our community, but we're supposed to be part of our community, helping meet the needs of the community around us the way that Jesus taught us to do that. And then the third thing is that we're to take the mission seriously of going and telling people that same good news that we've had the opportunity to accept. That's why we are here. And so for the next several weeks, we're gonna look at those three things, because last week was more of an overview of the big church, why the church exists. And these next 3 weeks, we're going to spend time looking at what we believe we're here for worship, for community, and for mission. All right, so today we're going to start off with worship. Now, worship is simply, it's showing love to God. It's acknowledging who he is and making sure that we do that in every area of our lives. All right, so the only way that I can really, though, get this point across about what worship is supposed to be like in our lives is to use the word craving. You ever had a craving for something? You know, three of you, thank you for the rest of you. I don't know what rock you're living under, because there's too much stuff to crave around here, right? But here's the reality, that when we talk about a craving, you know, it's like this itch that you just can't scratch. You know what I'm talking about? You know, this is a true story. Every time I walk into Pastor Gabe's office, I get this itch on my left shoulder blade. I don't know if I'm allergic to him or that yellow and blue paint he's got in his office. I don't know what it is, but man, it's just like it's the same spot every time. And so what I do, I'm having a conversation with him. I end up backing up against his door frame, and I look like Baloo from Jungle Book, you know, scratching my back on a tree. I don't know what it is. True story, is it not, Gabe? We were just laughing about it the other day. It's something about getting in there. But anyway, that's what a craving is meant to be. It's like trying to satisfy something like that. You know, another craving that I get is when I walk into a convenience store, you know, just to get a bottle of water or Diet Mountain Dew, whatever it is. There's something that's in every convenience store that just flings a craving on me. All right, any Jerry Clower fans in here? You know, Jerry Clower talked about he done flung a craving on me. Does anybody know who Jerry Clower is? Thank you. My gosh. I'm like, okay, the mic don't work. Y'all are asleep. I mean, come on. But there is something that gets me every time, and it's got this little orange wrapper around it. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. The good old Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. You know, man, it just flings a craving on me. You know, just flings one on me. Thanks. Sorry. You didn't think I was going to give my last one, did you, really? Especially to you. Come on, man. Oh, good old Pastor Gabe. I just love him to death. But there's a craving is something that you have to have it. And sometimes, you know, cravings go like this. Once you get it, you just want more of it. And that's the way it's supposed to be with worship. I don't know how you're wired, but I'm wired. When I make up my mind that, like, I want to focus on something, I want something to do, I get a little taste of it and I want it, then, man, I kind of just focus on it. You know, like, you can go to my Google search and it'll be, like, you know, all in there because I'm trying to figure it out. Right now I'm trying to figure out how to make worship videos, something I'm not good at, but I've been just researching that, craving to want to know how to make these nice little videos and things for our worship services. But that's how we get, when something gets on our mind and we go after it, that's this craving that we all have, and we should begin to see worship the same way. You get a little taste, and then you just want more and more and more of it. We read last week about a bunch of people who got just that when it came to a relationship with Jesus. They accepted Jesus for who he was. Peter had preached to them and on the day of Pentecost, and like 3,000 of them said, yes, now what? What is next? Because I want some of that. Give me some. And then what do I got to do next after that? That's the way they were living. And for every believer that's come since, that's had the same craving flung on them. All right. If you've come to an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ, that you truly have acknowledged the fact that you've failed and you've fallen and you've sinned, and that the only way to redeem that, to restore that, is by understanding that Jesus died on the cross, paid the price for it, and it's settled. Then if you've done that, then the Holy Spirit has come to live inside of you and given you a taste of God that should make you want more and more and more. Now, we talked about last week that, you know, there's something about that term Holy Spirit that just gets the good old Baptist and a lot of us, man, just kind of sends shivers up and down our spine. We get a little freaked out over the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost and how that can really set us apart, because we've seen people in churches doing backflips down the aisles because they say they got the Spirit, right? And you know, and we've seen people get up and do all kinds of crazy things. There's a cool video on Facebook where the guys run down and they actually flip into the baptism. Anybody ever seen that one, man? It's really cool. Now, I'm not making fun of people that have the Spirit in them, but we have to be careful to make sure that it ain't our Spirit in us making us do things and giving the Holy Spirit credit. But what happens for us in the Baptist church so often is we just discount the Holy Spirit. We strip him away and we take him to a place where we become powerless as Christians because we just don't understand. So let me give you a couple of things that you need to know about the Holy Spirit that can help us all understand it. Here's the first thing. The Spirit marks the beginning of a Christian experience. If you've truly been saved, you have the Holy Spirit living in you, whether you like that thought or not. You have the Holy Spirit living in you to help guide you and show you how to live out the life that you were created for. Every Christian has that. Second, the Spirit is the power of our new lives. Listen, if you're struggling with trying to overcome something, if you're struggling with being able to be bold enough to invite somebody to church, if you're struggling just finding where you fall into this whole church thing and this Christian thing, then let me tell you, it's because you've not understood the power and you've not tapped into it because you're trying to do it yourself. And listen, our willpower, our guts and all that stuff isn't strong enough for us to do the things to take on the battle of spiritual warfare that is happening all around us. And when we come to the point and we understand that, then we can begin to live this thing out, this life out that we're supposed to have as a Christian. But so often when I see people struggling, it's because they've dismissed the power of the Spirit in them. We need to understand that we have that. Number three, the Spirit unites all believers. Whether you go to the First Assembly, whether you go to Second Presbyterian, whether you go to 92nd Methodist, whether you come to URA Community, let me just tell you, if you are a born-again believer in Christ, the same Spirit that lives in any of them lives in you. The same believer, the same Spirit that lives in that charismatic person down the street, it's the same Spirit that lives in you as a conservative Baptist. And we need to get to the place where we begin to understand that, acknowledge that, and live out, because the church isn't separated in heaven by denominations. It's separated out into a big group of everybody who's accepted Jesus and has a Spirit living in them. And we need to get to a place where we understand that if we're going to be the church that God has designed us to be. This is a message that should be preached on every stage, from every pulpit, in every church that you'll find. Because we've let this stuff pull us apart and bring us down so long that we don't even know what we believe half the time anymore. And so for you are a community, listen, we're going to acknowledge the Holy Spirit. And we may not do all the things that we see other churches do, but let me just tell you that the Spirit is completely free to move in this place. And we want to be able to acknowledge Him, and we want to be able to follow Him and do what He tells us to do. That's where the church is getting off kilter. But all that's free. I want you to make sure that you have that and that you understand that. Because here's the thing. The Spirit is so important to us. And, you know, I used to make the mistake thinking, though, that if I could have just lived when Jesus lived, if I could have just hung out with Jesus, you know, if I could have had lunch with Him and, you know, I could have broken, you know, went and distributed the bread for Him and parted the fish, and I could have been part of all that. Man, that would have been so cool to just spend time with Jesus, hearing Him teach me directly and just seeing how he calmed the storm and all that. That would have been so cool. But listen, did you know that there's something better than being able to have hung out with Jesus in person? Man, somebody thinks I'm getting ready to preach some blasphemy, right? No, but you know who said there's something better than hanging out with Jesus? Jesus. He made it very clear there was something better for us than even being able to be around Him. In the Bible, in John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus says this, "But in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, won't come. If I do go away, then I will send Him to you." Now, here's these guys hanging out with Jesus, and He says, listen, there's going to be something better for you when I leave. You know, they had to be messing with their mind, and it messes with us too. But the reality is, Jesus said He's going to send somebody for us that's better to live in us, to be able to guide us every day, every step of the way, in every decision that we make. He goes on in verse 13, and He begins to tell us some things that the Spirit is going to do. Verse 13, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth." You want to know the truth, then let the Spirit guide you. "He will not speak on His own, but will tell you what He has heard." You know what He's heard? He's heard God and Jesus having conversations that He's been part of, because they are one in the same. And He's there hearing what they're saying, and He's come to communicate that to you, directly to us, while He lives in us. "He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever He receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever He receives from me." You see, if you have a relationship with Jesus, if you are a born again believer in Christ, you've accepted that fact of what Jesus has done, and you're forgiven of your sins, and you've been set free, then you know what this is like. You should have tasted this. You should have experienced this in your life. And this taste that you've gotten of the Holy Spirit acknowledging you and moving in, taking up residence, is something that you should just want more and more and more of. And because you have that, you should acknowledge God for who He is and for what He's done for you to allow you to experience that. Every area of our lives should be wrapped around worshiping Him. It's the craving that we should all have as believers. Now, what is What has all this got to do with this worship? Where are we going with this whole thing of worship? Well, listen, we got to get down to what it's really all about. And so we're going to begin to look at this in the life of those new believers and how we can translate that to us. All right, so we're going to look at worship here and begin in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. It says they devoted themselves to learning more, to hanging out with other people, to praying, acknowledging who God is. It was more than just a few little acts of things. Listen, it was giving God all of their learning. They were worshiping him by wanting to know more about him. They were worshiping him because they wanted to hang out with other people who had experienced what they'd experienced. And they were worshiping him because they were acknowledging him through their prayers that he really is the one who is the source and the strength of all of that. That he is the one that's there, not just to fix our problems, but he's the one that's there to provide everything that we need to live. You see, they were devoted themselves. That's a big word. You know, have you ever really thought about what that means? I think we throw it out there pretty easy. We devote ourselves to certain things. But when you define that word and you really bring out the meaning, it takes us deeper. All right. So I'm not very smart, so I got to look stuff up sometimes. So I looked up that word devoted. And here's the definition. To persist obstinately in. That help you? Yeah, me neither. All right. I don't know about you, but I don't use the word obstinate either. All right. I'm gonna put it in now because I had to learn it. I'm gonna pull it out on somebody sooner or later. But obstinate means this: stubborn, refusing to change, and difficult to control. All right, so let's put that together now. Because I like that last part. Persist in being difficult to control. That means to persist being out of control. To persist in just recklessly letting things happen to see something go. Put it back into this thing. All the believers recklessly persisted in losing control of themselves. Not literally, okay, let's don't get gross there. Gosh, I thought that was funny. Anyway, sorry, I took y'all somewhere you shouldn't go. But anyway, they lost all control of themselves to be able to learn and to hang out and to be able to grow and acknowledge God. They were persistent in letting God have control of their lives. They were persistent in seeking out after who he is. Think about the church. Is that the church today? Do we see the church persistently going after who God is? Persistently seeking out, losing control to be able to just go after learning about who he is. Do we see the church going after hanging out with each other and spending time with each other to be able to grow from each other and to support each other? Do we see ourselves persistently being stubborn in our prayers, praying faithfully, knowing that God is the one who truly can change people and things and us? See, I know it's easy to sit here and say, no, that's not the church. But what if we said, is that you are a community church? Are we persistently going with reckless abandon after God? Are we really seeking out who God is and learning him and worshiping him for because we know now all about him and we acknowledge all the things of him? Are we really going after hanging out with each other so that we can grow from each other and support each other? Are we as a church praying for our community? I mean, I know we talk about we want to do a lot of things in the community. I get that. I'm all for that. But are we really praying for that? I got to tell you, I don't think we are. I'll take it even further. Am I? Is that me? I don't think so. You know, I'd love to stand up here and just tell you, oh, that's me. But I'd be lying to you. And see, what this is all about, this isn't about me having it all figured out. It's not about you having it all figured out. But it is certainly about us acknowledging it and then being willing to admit it and do something about it. And that's where I find myself. It's where I've been all week. I've been struggling with it. Because I've let so many other things get in the way of me just recklessly, you know, just going after God for who He is and worshiping Him and everything. See, I've let tasks become way more important than my worship. I've let other things get in the way of me just acknowledging God. You know what? I bet if we're all honest in the room, we all have, at least at some point. So what do we do with that? Where do we go from here? See, this worship thing is important. It's the most important thing we can do. It's to love God with everything that we have. And so here's what I want us to talk about today. Here's the point. Worshiping God is a craving. It satisfies a craving that is never satisfied. Worshiping God is satisfying a craving that's never satisfied. Then you say, huh? Well, that doesn't make sense. Think about it. The moment we become satisfied with worshiping God, we've missed it. Because you know what we'll do. When we think we've satisfied it, we'll stop. And the reality is we're never to stop worshiping Him for who He is. Well, we're never to stop acknowledging who God is in anything that we do. See, before you accept Christ, there's this craving within you, a craving that is a hole that's meant for God only. This craving that there's more to life than just living and dying and paying taxes. There's this sense that there's got to be something more for me, some purpose that I'm created for. And then we come to this place where we acknowledge who God is. We hear the fact that we're separated from Him because we're sinners. And that because of that sin, we're separated from Him and we can't do anything about it on our own. And so because God loved us enough, He sent His Son Jesus to come and die on the cross to pay the price so that we could be restored to Him if we acknowledge it and accept it and repent and turn the other way. So we get to this place where we can acknowledge this thing that's been missing in our lives. And so the moment, though, that we get to accept it, this greatest response and decision we could ever have, guess what? It only leads to more. It only leads to wanting to worship God then, not just because you know you need to be saved, but now you worship Him because you have been saved. And so it's this craving that you have that once you satisfy it, you just realize that it's never satisfied. That you continually seek it out and want to have more of it. You see, that's what it was like for those early Christ followers. You look at verse 43 of Acts 2 and it says this, a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together in the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising, worshiping God, and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Listen, that's the church, y'all. That's what it looks like, smells like, sounds like. That's what it is. It's there laid out for us. It's the answer to all the now whats that we should be asking ourselves. What do we do now? There it is. That we should be acknowledging God in all those areas of our lives. See, they couldn't get enough of each other. They were each other. They were learning and spending time and doing all kinds of things with each other. Man, it was cool to read about how the early church stuck together. But now don't hear what I'm not saying here, because I'm not saying that we just need to hang out with church folk. All right, let me just tell you, if your only friends are people you go to church with, you need to get a life. You need to have people in your life that don't have a relationship with Jesus. You got to do that. Because as a believer, we're called not to just hang out with each other, but we're then to go and take that message to other people that need to hear it so they can come hang out. It's part of being a believer. And if you're just hanging out with church folk and you're just, that's all the friends you have, I'm telling you, you are missing out on a great part of the life that God has for you. I'm not talking about you got to go hang out in the bars. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that if that's where God tells you to go and hang out with somebody that needs to hear about Jesus. You don't have to join in. You can go hang out. But listen, whatever it is that you need to do, that's what he's calling us to be part of. See, they didn't know what to do. They were just doing whatever they saw and were led to do. They began to sell all their stuff and give it to people that needed it. Now, I'm not telling you to do that. Don't go sell your house today because you heard Pastor Ron say, well, he told me I was supposed to do that if I worship God. Man, if you want to do that, that's great. I mean, you know, I'll take the check. But anyway, just kidding, okay? But listen, what I'm saying is what they got to was they understood who it all belonged to. They understood it didn't belong to them. They just understood that if they sold it and gave it to somebody else, God would do some really cool stuff for them and for the other person. That he would do amazing stuff when they would just let go and realize that he owns it all and worship him for who he is. That's what this is all about. It's not about giving everything away to other people. It's about giving it all away to him and acknowledging him as the one who owns it. That's worship. Now you go on a little bit further into Acts and you get up to chapter 5 and you begin to see something pretty interesting about how the apostles continued to worship. You see, they got into Acts chapter 5 and they were in the temple courts and they were preaching and teaching and healing people, and the religious leaders of the time got pretty upset about it, right? And so what happens is they have them arrested. Well, an angel comes along and frees them up out of prison. So the next day, you know, somebody comes to the religious leader and says, hey, those guys you locked up yesterday, man, they're back out there. So they go and they have them locked up again. And this time they bring them in, they're wanting to execute these guys. And finally, one of the guys in the group, maybe God spoke to him, whatever, he got a little sense about him. He stands up and says, listen, here's the reality. If this thing isn't of God, we can let them go. It'll all fall to pieces anyway, and we won't have to worry about it. But if it is of God, we can't do anything to stop it anyway. It doesn't matter what we do to them. And so what they did is they beat the guys and then sent them on their way. And here's what we find in Acts chapter 5, verse 40. Listen to the worship in these next few verses. They called on the apostles and had them flogged. Then they ordered them never again to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. Verse 41, the apostles left the high council rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they continued to teach and preach this message, Jesus is the Messiah. Now let me just tell you, when I get done preaching today, if I go out back and a bunch of you are waiting on me because I preached and got on your toes today and you beat me up, and tie me to a telephone pole out there. Now listen, don't get any ideas, but I might not come back next week, all right? I might better just in case. I might not say that. But if you do that, if you beat me up for preaching the gospel, and I'm going to tell you, it's going to be tough for me to come back up here next week. But what did these guys do? They considered it, they were joyful because they got flogged. I mean, that's the worst. That sounds worse than getting beat to me. I don't know. They got flogged for sharing the gospel and preaching it. And they were rejoicing over it. They were worshiping God because they had gotten beaten. They were worshiping God with their voice and with their body, despite the things that could come against them. You know what we do? We get a little worried about somebody saying no if we ask them to come to church with us. Man, we were missing out, aren't we? See, in the late 1990s, early 2000s. There was something that happened in the church. There was this idea that swept over it and said, listen, you know what we can do? We can make church easier. We can make the Christian life easier, because what we'll do is we'll start to play upbeat music. And we'll have pastors begin to pull their shirt tails out, roll up their sleeves, put on some jeans and be really cool and hip, right? And that we'll allow them to, you know, kind of preach and no podiums, no nothing, just, you know, just them, their Bible, and just get up and begin to do their thing. And they'll show some cool video, and we'll have this really, you know, really laid back service. We'll even have comfortable chairs. We'll make this Christian life easier and more people will come. Well, guess what? We did that, right? Been part of it. Still am, I guess. Maybe if I was 19, maybe I better get with it or something. But anyway, here's the reality. We made church easier, and guess what we did? We filled up churches. Filled them up with a bunch of people who were satisfied because we made it easy. With a bunch of satisfied people who get offended when we ask them to get a little uncomfortable and do something. Now, before you think I'm throwing rocks at you, listen, I sat in the seats way before I stood on the stage. I was one of those people. See, I understand what it's like to be complacent. I understand what it's like to just think it's part of just coming in, sitting down, make it through it, and then go. I get that. So what we did was we made church into this thing where it seemed like we were doing God a favor if we became a follower of him. You don't believe it? Have you seen the video on Facebook? All right, maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. But there's a video going around where a pastor's wife actually says, listen, if you'll just worship God, you know, if you'll come in and do this, your worship doesn't need to be for him. If you'll just worship for you yourself, then that will make God happy. Do it for yourself, and that'll make him happy. I got to tell you, I'm not big on standing up and busting on other people for what they say, but I got to tell you, because I know some of you follow and listen, but you got to know that is not what the Bible teaches me. It is not about me, and it's not about you. It is about him. And the moment we begin to worship for ourselves and worship us, we are losing out. And we have not met the Jesus that died on the cross and paid the price for our sins. I'm just telling you, we have to be careful of what we begin to believe. You know why we did that? Because we made church so easy and the Christian life so easy, we even took the Bible out. So, oh, we'll even put it on the screen for you. Listen, if you got a Bible or a phone app at least that's got a Bible, bring it with you. Because you need to know that I'm reading the right thing and preaching the right thing. You need to know that for yourself, not because I just say it. I'm going to do my best, but you need to do it for yourself. We need to worship God for everything that we have, with everything that we have. And listen, I know this sounds like I'm getting on to you today. I'm not just trying to get on to you. I'm talking to myself. I've been there. I know what it's like. And so today, I've got to challenge you to take this beyond where you've been in your walk with Christ. And do we really worship him with everything that we have? He said that's the most important thing. And we need to be able to do it. Listen, I don't know, maybe you grew up in church like I did, you know, and you grew up and going to Sunday school, and there was that one little old lady or one little old man that taught Sunday school for like decades in your church. You know, I think of Miss Hager, who taught me when I was a kid, and I think she taught my brother and my sister and me, and probably generations after that. I don't know, but she was there forever. It seemed like she was teaching us about Jesus. She had the very first impact on my life about who Jesus was. I still remember the felt board. Okay, I got it. But there's always that one person in those churches. You know, and every church has that somebody who just diligently went after and was devoted to teaching kids or teaching students or teaching somebody about Jesus. And we can all think about that person or those persons in our church. But I got to think about our church. Now, we haven't been around that long, and I know some of you there, but I got to think about the general idea here. Because those people, you couldn't drag them out of teaching Sunday school. And now, if we ask somebody to teach every fifth Sunday, we get this weird look. Now, I got to be straight up with you. I look out in this crowd, and I see potential. And my nose didn't just grow. I mean, I'm being straight up with you. I'm being honest. I see so much potential in this group. It's unbelievable. If you could just stand where I stand one Sunday and just be able to look out and see the potential that sits in this room every single Sunday that goes untapped and unused. You know, this past week we had a little draft in the church here with the leaders. You go back into the office there, there's these two big boards, and we wrote down all the names of people that do serve at least once in a great while, right? We wrote you down in there, and you're one color, right? And then, I was going to be honest, we sat and we wrote down all the names of the people that don't serve, that aren't plugged in anywhere, and you're written in a different color on a different board. Now, here's what's getting ready to happen, though. You need to know on Tuesday, you better be praying or something. If you ain't coming back after this, you better let me know so I can race you off the board. But you're going to go from that one color to another color. Because God's blessed you with something that you don't even know you got, that we see in you, and we're going to come challenge you to use it. Because it's part of your worship. And I got to tell you, it breaks my heart. And it keeps me up at night. How do I get people to be part of what God wants to do in their life? I get more concerned about it than I think most of you do. It's not because I just want to fill up a board, y'all. I care less about the board. But what I want to see you is you to live out what God's called you to be and be able to worship Him in every area of your life. See, where are we as a church? Are we serious about our worship? Are we devoted? Just persistent in our reckless abandon after God? I don't think so. I think we got a long way to go. And we can sit here and say, yeah, but other churches do too. Well, they do, but you know what? You ain't sitting there this Sunday. God didn't call me to that church. He called me here to do something very specific. And so I want you to be able to lay your head down at night and know that you're all that He wants you to be, that you're not there yet, but you're doing everything that you possibly can to be there. And I'm going to challenge you to do it. I'm going to ask you to be uncomfortable. And if you get offended with that, then there's a church in town somewhere, I'm sure, that will welcome you and will not make you feel uncomfortable. But the reality is He's put us here for something greater than us. He's put us here to acknowledge who He is. And if we don't get on board, listen, He will pass us by and He'll go on and do it with somebody else. And I just seen Him use us because we were willing and not in spite of ourselves. So where's your devotion? What's your craving? See, today I want to challenge you to take a next step with me. I want all of us to think about where we are in our relationship with Him. Maybe today you're here and you just know you just don't have a relationship with God. Well, maybe today would be the day you would decide that, you know what, you need that in your life. So maybe that would be you today that you would decide you need to do that. And so I want to be able to give you an opportunity to do that in a second. Maybe today you're on that board, but you know that you could be on that board a little bit more. There are some other things that you could be doing to help us minister to this community. Then maybe today's the day that you step up and you say, I'll do it. Maybe today you're on that board a whole lot and you're thinking, you know what, I'm really burned out. I just don't know if I can do any more. You know what, I've seen that board and there's nobody on there that much. I'm just going to be honest with you. So I want you to pray about whose strength you're trying to do it all in. See, today worship is a craving. That once you satisfy it, you realize that it's never satisfied. And so will you worship him with all that you have? Will you worship him with all that he's given you? And will you acknowledge him here and use it here? Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for who you are. God, thank you for your spirit. God, today I pray that whatever decisions need to be made in this room, that they're made here now. We don't just hold on until we can scoot out the door, but God, that we'll make it right here, right now. God, I pray that you would deal with hearts. God, if I've said anything that wasn't of you and offended somebody, I truly am sorry for that. But God, if I said it because of you and I offended them, I'm not. Because I know that you want to do great things in every single life in this room. You created them specifically to do that. So God, thank you for giving me the opportunity to challenge them. And I pray you'll challenge me as well to do even more as I can. And so God, I love you and I thank you. And today we acknowledge you and we worship you. And we do this in Jesus' name. Amen. In these next few moments, the band's going to play. And we don't do this